listening to Season 3 of The Voice Behind the Pen. We had a vast group of talented individuals who came on to Season 3 to share their talents and stories with SC. Before we get into it, though, let's take a second and thank all of the guests from Season 2. Hoya McCray, Joanne Sardi-Peck, William Waite, Yolanda Powell, Monique S. Hall, Kaylin Wells, Lamont Petaway, Cornell Foster, Daryl Carr, Keith Kareem Williams, and Steve Witt. If you haven't listened to Season 2, be sure to check it out. You can find every episode at www.theauthorscdickens.com, as well as all streaming platforms. Be sure to check out SC's ghostwriting services as well as his other works while you're on the site. So, kick back, grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, SC Dickens. In tonight's episode, I am thrilled to introduce author Reva Fry, an incredible talent indie author whose debut novel, If Love Could Kill, has been making waves in the literary world. This gripping thriller suspense novel is infused with just the right amount of spice to keep readers on the edge of their seats. But Reva's journey to becoming an author is as compelling as her writing. Not only she's a master storyteller, but she's also an Army veteran and a dedicated mother. So without further ado, let's dive into the captivating conversation with Reva Fry.
Good evening, Reva. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. I want to thank you for accepting my invitation onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, you know, on Mondays, we interview an author, and on Wednesdays, we talk to somebody in the film industry. And with you being an author, I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write your book, If Love Could Kill?
So what inspired me really was just myself. So I am an Army veteran and a mother of two. And I wanted to show them, you know, the success of, you know, what their mom has done, not just being in the Army, but also outside of the Army. I wanted to be a role model for my kids. So that's really what inspired me to write my book and just kind of publish my book out there.
Okay. How did your experience in the Army influence your writing, you think?
So the Army can be very dark. So I think going through those dark times really helped me cope when I was writing my book. So I was really used to that dark side of the world. So it really did help me kind of just write it a little bit better and just cope a little bit better with what I was struggling with inside.
Okay. Can you tell us a little journey that you went through in the Army that made you become an author?
So I've always loved reading. When we would go on rotations or missions, I would bring a book, and that would be kind of my escape from what I was dealing with at that time. So I think that's really what kind of drove me to be an author, because I wanted to be that inspiration and that getaway for other people.
Okay. What challenges did you face while writing your debut?
The biggest challenge I faced when writing my book, If Love Could Kill, would probably be time. Like I said, I'm a mother of two young little kids. I'm also a wife, and my husband's currently in the military. So, time was definitely the most challenging part, was just trying to find a time with myself, sit down, get my thoughts together, and just, you know, write this book and just kind of make it make sense.
Okay. If you want to disclose, you don't have to. Are any of the characters based around you?
I would rather not disclose that.
Okay. So what drew you to the thriller suspense genre?
I've always loved the thriller suspense genre since I was really little. I loved how that genre really keeps you on the edge of your seat, and how you never know what's coming next. It's just, it's sort of like a surprise with each page that you flip. You never know what you're going to get. It could be a plot twist. It could be something that you didn't even know could even happen, and it happened. So,
okay. Can you share a little behind the scenes about the writing process of If Love Could Kill? Like, what were your rituals as far as writing?
So I know there's different types of writers who use different types. Like there's structural writing, there's freehand writing. For me personally, I did freehand writing. I see clearly what my vision is for the book. It's sort of like a movie in my head. So my first thing is I write everything up. It's my first draft. And then I'll go through it and see what makes sense and what doesn't. And then I will go to my ARC and beta readers, and they will tell me whether or not it makes sense or not. And if it doesn't, I'll make changes. And if it does, then I'll just keep it.
Okay. Was there any type of research you had to do, especially with the suspense element?
I did. So I did not know much about North Carolina, and that's where it originally takes place. So I had to do a little bit of digging. I had to kind of see what the surrounding areas were like, the hills, the forest. So that's kind of, I did a little bit of research on where the characters were to be taken place at.
What do you hope your readers take away from your book?
I hope they take away just the enjoyment of reading it. I hope that they love it just as much as I loved writing it. I hope that it inspires them to go and read more. That's really just my only goal, is just to bring enjoyment to readers who love to read.
Okay. Can you share with us a memorable moment that you had writing the book that brought a smile to your face?
Probably when I finished my last page, because it had been a long year, almost a year and a half of just writing nonstop. So that last little bit, it just really just brought a smile to my face, because I knew I'm done. I achieved something. This is my first step to my next step. So.
Okay. I tell some people when they ask me, you know, when you finish your first book, how did it feel? And I don't know. My joy was taken away with that first book, because for one, I started writing through pain. I was going through something. I was going through divorce at the time. We were talking about divorce, and I was writing through pain. And when I started the process of putting everything together, I wasn't as joyed as everybody else was for me. And I never got that experience of being happy. You know, now later on, I got the experience through other stuff when I started screenwriting and stuff like that. But my first book, you know, it wasn't, you know, I ask all authors that, because some authors, you hear different stories, you know?
Yeah.
So are you thinking about making a part two? Is it worthy of a part two, or you think you told everything in part one?
So I am kind of debating whether or not I want to do a part two. In the story, it kind of leaves on a cliffhanger, so I'm probably going to end up doing a part two. Right now, I'm working on another dark romance, and hopefully that will be traditionally published within the next year.
Okay. You want to disclose the title of it, or?
The title of the new dark romance is called His Redemption. So it's kind of in the middle between, if you read dark romances, you know, The Ritual. If you read Haunting Adeline is a big one right now. Somewhere in between those two books.
Okay. Have you had any moments of writer's block? And if so, how did you handle it?
Oh, yeah. A lot. So writer's block happens a lot with me, because, I'll be thinking of a scene, and then I don't know how to end that scene. I usually just walk away from my computer. I need some time to get myself collected, because if not, then I'll just get frustrated with myself and my work.
How do you navigate being a mom and an author?
It's hard. It takes a lot of support. through my husband. My husband has been a huge support through all of this. I actually just had a book signing yesterday, which was fantastic, and he ended up watching the kids for me. So he's been a huge support through this whole entire thing of, you know, just watching them for me while I needed to get stuff done, like book signings, or if I needed to get a chapter done, or for instance, like this interview here on this podcast, like he's been a huge help.
Okay. That's good. You know, that's great. 'Cause some writers, they have some support and some don't, you know, some of the authors that come on the show and they've told me some horror stories and some have told me some exciting stories. You know, so it's very good to have that support when you need it.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that aspect.
Yeah. So what role do beta readers and editors play in your writing process?
So when I first started this, you know, editors can be super expensive. You know that. You've written your books.
Yes.
they can be very, very pricey. So I would first start out with beta readers. I would ask them, hey, if you see any mistakes in my grammar, could you please let me know? Because we're not going to see the mistakes ourselves. You know, we're reading it. We've already read it probably like 10,000 times by the time it gets to a beta reader. So they might be able to see something that we can't see. So I definitely rely on them a lot to kind of give me a lot of feedback. And then once that is done, then I will go find an editor, usually on Fiverr or Readsy. They have a lot of really good editors, especially being a self-published author. That's a really helpful site to use.
Yeah, I don't know what they're charging now. But I know when I first started, I think it was like 3 to 5 cents a word.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's expensive. It can get up to 1,000 or more.
Yeah. 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 Oh, trust me. I know. Wait. I'm going to tell you. Wait till you start looking at getting it on audio.
Oh, man.
Listen, that is pricey as well. Because I think some of them charge as low as $125 per finished hour.
Oh, wow.
Some of them go up to 200 per finished hour, depending on who you approach and what they have, you know?
It's being an author and publishing a book can be very pricey, but like you have sites like Grammarly that can also help you if you don't have that type of budget, because not everybody does nowadays, especially.
Yeah. So how do you navigate through the marketing and promotion aspects being an indie author?
So a lot of my marketing actually comes through social media. I feel like nowadays, everything's through social media, you know, like TikTok. On TikTok, there's called BookTok. So I do a lot of marketing on BookTok, and I do a lot of marketing on Twitter, trying to reach out to other authors and try to, it's just about those connections that you make with other people and those authors and those readers. I think connections are very important when it comes to your marketing. Not only just selling your book, but also, you know, telling them kind of figure out what their genre is. So they're kind of interested in your book at first, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Relationships are huge, especially when you create a relationship, when you create a bond with another author, that's very important because when I first started, there was a lot of gatekeepers that would not do certain things. But now that the, you know, the blueprints are exposed and the internet is the way it is, people can go on the internet and find out these things. So, you know, we're at an age now that we can explore and find things better than what we were. Because I know before the show, me and you had a conversation and I was I write different genres. And I had another author on a couple of days ago. And we were talking about knowing the difference, because what you think is romance, somebody be like, oh, no, that's erotica, or that you need to know the elements, because there are elements, and you would never think that, you know, you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna write a love story, but romance have to have a happy ending, and you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
You know, so. With that being said, Would you venture off into another genre? And if so, which one?
So right now my main focus is kind of dark romances, but I could see myself going into more of like a more romance, non-dark romance book, because most dark romances have a lot of erotica in it. And I think, so if you've seen the movie The Hating Game, there's actually a book based on that movie. So if you like The Hating Game, sort of like the lovers who are enemies in the beginning, just kind of like a regular romance and not so dark.
Okay. What do you enjoy most about being an author?
Honestly, I love meeting different people. I love meeting different readers. It is such a great experience, especially like when you're going to book signings and you get to meet other readers who have read your book or authors that write the same genre. Those friendships that really last forever. I think that's the best thing that, you know, I got out of it.
Okay. How do you handle feedback, both positive and negative, from your readers?
Ooh, that's hard. I actually just talked to a 16-year-old girl yesterday at my book signing, and she was asking me the same question because she was very afraid of, you know, the critique of if she writes a book, how would I handle that? What I told her is, you know, critiques are there to help you get better. So I don't see it. I take it as a grain of salt because your book might be for someone and then it might not be for somebody else. You never know. You can't really judge the reader for not liking your book. But if they give you critique, I say take it as a learning experience so you can better your writing for your next book.
Okay. Can you share any experience of drawing inspiration from your own life for your writing?
So for my book, I don't really have inspiration for my own writing because my book is based on a woman who is recently divorced and she falls for this widow. So, I mean, there's nothing really based on that. It was just kind of something that I drew up and I was like, you know what, let's just go with it. This sounds really cool. I like it. And it really hit off after that. I've got my book already in Germany right now. I've got my book in Canada. I've got my book. So it's, I don't know. I didn't really have much of an inspiration for my personal life for my book.
Okay. What are some common misconceptions about indie writers that people would not know?
Some common let's see. I would say probably like, you know, when you think of an indie writer, you think, oh, they don't have a lot of experience in writing. They weren't good enough to be published traditionally, but that's not always the case. There's a lot of differences between being traditionally published and self-published. Self-published, you have a lot more room for your own work, no deadlines, and then for traditionally published, you know, it could also take years to get traditionally published. So some indie authors don't want to wait that long. And I think that's a misconception of people get of indie authors is that they weren't good enough to be traditionally published when that just wasn't the case.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I personally didn't realize how much work went into being an indie writer. You know, I didn't take in consideration. You have to talk to everybody that makes your book function.
Yes.
Where if you publish, you have a crew that does it. You know, you have one person in charge of the book cover. You have another person in charge of the setting of the book. You got another person in charge of the book formatting and everything, the color of the pages and everything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know all of that. And it was, like I said, the internet wasn't like it was how it is now. You know, the only advertisement I had back then was MySpace. So that tells you how long
Yeah, that was a while.
You know, so how do you handle the pressures and expectations both from yourself and your readers after the success of your debut novel?
So there is a lot of pressure, you know, when your book, like my book, I didn't expect it to kind of grow as much as it did. So the pressure of me wanting it to actually be really, really good for my readers, is kind of high. And it just kind of makes me doubt myself that maybe I'm not as good as, you know, a writer that I think that I am, because I just want it to be so good for them. It's not really for myself. It's really, I want this book to be good for my readers. And that's where the pressure comes in, because I don't want to let my readers down.
Okay. Do you think your book would be worthy of a movie?
I think it would be, to be honest. I think it would definitely be an interesting horror thriller movie. It has a lot of twists and turns and plot twists, and, you know, towards the end you don't see something coming. So I think it would definitely make a really good movie.
Okay. Who would be the main character if you could pick a celebrity?
Ooh.
Pick your dream cast.
My dream cast. I never even thought of that. You're asking me hard questions here. I have no idea. You really caught me off guard on that question.
No problem. Would you ever think about writing it yourself, doing it as a screenplay yourself, or would you hire somebody to do it?
I probably would hire somebody to do it. I don't think I'd have enough skill and background to be a screenwriter. I'm usually just, you know, behind my computer in my novel, so I wouldn't even know what I would be doing as a screenwriter.
And you know what? That was a great answer. and you know, I noticed that most women would be humble enough to say, well, you know, I might give it to somebody else to do it. Because what I've realized about a lot of male authors, including myself, before I got trained in screenwriting, I took one of my books and I thought I was writing a screenplay until I took the course. And then when I revisited the project, I said, oh my God, you know, I said, this is terrible.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, because it's the thought of seeing and showing.
Mm-hmm.
In a book, you see.
Mm-hmm.
In a movie, you show.
Yep.
You show everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So what do you think sets your book apart from other thrillers in the genre?
I think the characters really do. So the characters, I think, really kind of set my book apart from other thrillers. You know, it involves a widower who had just lost his family in a tragic accident. It involves a woman who had just gotten a divorce. It involves a little girl also in the picture. A lot of jealousy, hate, and a lot of, like I said, a lot of plot twists. So I think that's really what separates my book from other books, because thrillers usually, they do have plot twists. They do have a lot of plot twists, but I think towards the end of my book, you really, it kind of leaves you wondering. So if you've read the book Verity by Colleen Hoover, at the end of that book, you're kind of left wondering, okay, well, was it this or was it really this? So I think that's really what separates my book.
Okay.
Trying not to give too much detail in my book here.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to pull it out of you. What? Trying to pull it out of you at the same time? That makes sense. So, with your dialogue, how do you approach it?
It's definitely in a first person view, point of view. She does talk, the main character does talk in past tense a little bit. Okay. And there are some journal entries from one of the characters that does talk in past tense. Just because, you know, the journals were written a while ago. So there are journal entries in there that are not in first person.
Okay. I've been asking some of the male authors, and I said, I'm going to get a chance and I'm going to ask a female author this question.
Okay.
How does it feel to write about a man being the character? Did you have any difficulties with it? Yeah. Did you have any difficulties in trying to create a male character?
No, actually not really. I feel like that was a lot easier than writing the female character point of view. which is really weird. But, you know, being in the military, I've been around a lot of males. Majority of the work I was doing was around males. So to kind of get into their head and kind of know their mannerisms was a lot easier for me to put that into my book.
Okay, because most men said the same thing, that they felt it was easier to write about a woman. And I'm wondering, like, maybe it's because of the concepts that we have about the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Not to say that we're perfectionists or we're professionals about the mm-hmm. others, you know.
Or we have an idea of what our, you know, significant other should be, you know, what the opposite sex should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the significance of your pen name?
I
don't have any.
No, there's no significance to it.
Okay. So what's next? I know you're talking about the next book. You have another book coming up.
Yeah, I do have another book coming up. Hopefully it'll be done by next year, you know. And I want to try to go traditionally published because I kind of want to see, you know, the difference between self-published like I did with this book and then traditionally published. So I definitely want to try both sides and see which I like better. And we'll just see how that goes from there.
Okay. Can you share any advice for other indie authors?
Do not give up. It is hard. Marketing is really hard. If you think that you're not going to be talking to people about your book, you are wrong. You are going to have to talk a lot about your book. But do not give up and do not get discouraged by reviews and critiques. And even if you're trying to go traditionally published, you know, you're going to get rejected time and time and time after. But, I mean, that's just part of, you know, the writing experience.
Yeah, I have an acronym for no. No means new opportunities. You never know. Oh, no.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like that, actually.
New opportunities.
Say
no doesn't mean you won't get a new opportunity for somebody else.
Exactly.
And sometimes we have to get out our own way as authors, and we have to be willing to come about it a different way. We might have to step out of our comfort zone, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's where a lot of us are comfortable at, because it's a comfort zone. You know, you might have to go out and do some other things to draw people to your book. So,
yeah.
You know.
So it's definitely a challenge, especially if you're someone like me who, you know, doesn't talk to a lot of people, very introverted. You know, you have to kind of get out of your shell and go meet other people. That's probably the hardest part.
You know what I've noticed? A lot of the authors that I've interviewed are introverts.
And yeah, I find that amazing. Yeah, that's because we like to sit behind our computers.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that y'all do, but y'all don't think about, okay, after this book is over with, after I finish writing it, I'm going to have to talk to people about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about that. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think you just get caught in the moment of writing. And that's the signs of an excellent writer, when you do it for the love and you don't do it for the money.
That you is know. True.
Because if you do it for the money, you're going to be broke for a long time.
Yeah, you're not going to make a lot, that's for sure, especially with the royalties that get taken out.
Yes. Oh, man, I can tell you a story about that. I my first opportunity to be published with an imprint. Mm-hmm. And when they was telling me the breakdown of the royalties, I was insulted. I was like, oh, no. I didn't think about the bigger picture. I didn't think about all the behind the stuff that I would have to do on my own if mm-hmm. I had to do it on my own. But if that company would have did it, they would have did everything for me. They would have just set up everything for me to just show up, do my book sign, and move on to the next project, you know?
Yep.
So I didn't think about that. That wasn't the bigger picture for me back then, you know? So in closing, can you give everybody social media or anything that they can reach out to you?
Yeah, so actually, if you want to follow me on TikTok, let me see. I have two TikTok accounts, one for just book talk, because I love my books. So if you want to follow me on my book talk, it's Riva_Fry, RIVA_FRYE. And you'll find all my content on there, and then all of my new projects that I'm currently doing.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I actually found you on, we talked on Twitter, so I have that Twitter too.
Yeah, you can see that if you want.
Yeah, so my Twitter is Riva, R-I-V-A, Boyd, B-O-Y-D, 39563, and that is my Twitter.
Yes, and that's exactly how we found each other.
Yeah, we found each other through Twitter. You know, social media is a great thing.
Yeah, if you use it.
It can be.
You know, if you use it correctly, and, you know, like I said, in this business, relationships are important.
Mm-hmm.
You said it as well. Building relationships in this genre is very important in the whole book game, because you never know who could tell you something that you didn't know. Somebody could tell you about a book fair or how to do stuff in certain locations. Who you need to talk to, you know, somebody can help you skip that line.
Exactly. It's all about, you know, those connections and those friendships that really help you move forward with your writing career.
Yes, it is. Always. Well, Riva, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And I wish you continued success.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed our talk.
Definitely.
Caught me off guard a couple of times with those questions, but I definitely enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, you know, I apologize. You know, I do with a lot of authors. They be like, at the end of the show, they be like, you know, you caught me off guard with that. You know, but I thank you again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening. This is another episode of Voice Behind the Pen. This is your host, author, and screenwriter, S.E. Dickens. Good night, everyone.